Welcome to In the Loop with the Soup. I'm your host, Dr. Tremaine Clarity. This podcast is focused on all aspects in education that are happening right here in the Roane Area School District.
Welcome to In the Loop with the Soup. I'm Marcy Pfeiffer-Soderblom here with Dr. Tremaine Clarity.
Hello, Marcy. How you doing?
Hi there. I'm great. It's a beautiful day outside. It is National School Social Worker Week, so we're having a great week here as we record this. It's our 17th episode for the 23-24 school year so far.
Whoop whoop.
I know, right? And today we'll have the chance to learn about the teams of professionals who surround our students with the support they need so they can be available and ready to learn in the classroom.
Excellent. Thank you so much for the introduction and welcome to In the Loop with the Soup, our great podcast where it celebrates that every day is a great day to be a Roane Area School District Wildcat. So today we get to celebrate the tremendous work of our People Services Department, and that's led by the phenomenal, she's smiling right at me, Dr. Tracy Jackson. How are you doing today?
I'm fine, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And we're also joined by our dynamic lead nurse, Miss Ricky Conwell. How are you doing today?
Doing great. Thanks for having me.
We're excited to have you here today. So we're going to jump right in and hear from our two esteemed guests. As we think about our Pupil Services Department, what we know here in the Roane Area School District is it's not just about curriculum and academics. It's all about making sure that we surround and support the whole child. And there's no better way to do that than with our Pupil Services Department. So we're going to jump right in and talk about what's the role of the department. Help our community understand everything that we do.
Wow, wonderful. Yeah. So I always call the Pupil Services Department the heart of the school because it touches every part of a student in the school district. I have the privilege of supporting this team, and they provide the academic and social-emotional as well as health support for all of our students, getting them ready to be in the classroom and ready to learn.
And Ricky, you play a key role in that, and what's so phenomenal about our process here of Pupil Services here is that we support the whole student, but you also do it with the support of multiple people within our organization. But specifically as far as our nurses, can you talk a little bit more about your specific role and what makes it so unique and special to us?
Sure. So we are the nurses in our school district, and it's a unique role in that we're the medical providers for our school system. And so we see a lot of our students for their variety of healthcare needs. So in, you know, that may be something as basic as falling off of some play equipment at recess and making sure, are they safe to return to the classroom? Do they need to get some outside healthcare? Or it could be something more complex where a student, you know, has a chronic illness like diabetes that we're helping them manage and stay safe in the school every day to make sure that they can keep learning while, you know, also being healthy and safe.
Absolutely. You know, I like a little TV every once in a while, but TV does a significant injustice to what our nurses really do across our district and in our schools. Yeah, we often see, you know, it's just pretend to throw a Band-Aid on there or ice packs and a cup of juice, and it couldn't be anything farther from that. So as you really get into almost like the day in the life, you know, just talk about what you could possibly experience in an eight hour day.
Yeah, there's a huge variety, and it really depends across, you know, the lifespan of our students too. So at the high school level, you know, I start my day by navigating my emails, checking my phone messages to see what questions parents might have about how I can support their students. So a lot of times, you know, with our athletes, that might mean a concussion or a broken ankle the day before, and they're trying to safely return to school.
Absolutely.
And so I'm making sure that, you know, how are we meeting these students' needs in the classroom? And so with a concussion, that might be educating staff on how can you support the student? What do we need to watch for? And educating the student to make sure that, you know, that headache is a sign that your brain is injured and we need to be tuning into that, right? So when you come to my office and ask me for ibuprofen and just say, oh, it's just a headache, I say, well, actually, that's a brain injury. That's something
correct.
Serious. Yeah. How are we going to, you know, make sure we're protecting you and keeping you safe? So there's that. We see a lot of students for mental health needs
yes.
across the lifespan. And so again, helping students tune into that. You know, when you're showing up after lunch, you've eaten lunch, you're telling me you have a stomach ache, and then I you know, dig in a little deeper and I find out, oh, well, you just had a really big test or you're presenting. And we talk about, okay, so what are some coping strategies that we can do that, you know, aren't necessarily leaving school? So we try to get these students to learn how to tune into their bodies and get back into the classroom and deal with stress in a different way. And we see that mental health, even in our young students, where they're just, you know, they're not to that level of identifying that that stomach ache might be something else, that might be some anxiety. So we really do a lot of education around that, work on coping skills with our students. And then there's the emergency side, right?
Absolutely.
So we're prepared to respond to anything that might pop up. At the high school, you know, we get a lot of radio calls for students that have unexpected loss of consciousness, just because that's part of being a teen. Our bodies are developing. You know, sometimes students don't love dissections, and that might be a reason that, you know, we're responding to the classroom. And so educating them, supporting them, and making sure that our students are safe, and then making sure that our staff also feel like they can, you know, turn to us when they need that support and they have questions about what they can do to support students in the classroom. So I would say that's at the high school level. Our elementary nurses spend a lot more time with students with chronic illnesses, helping them how to learn these skills that they're gonna need as life. So by high school, I'm helping students transition into adulthood, helping them understand how to self-manage their chronic illnesses, mm-hmm. self-manage their healthcare. At the elementary level, we're not expecting students to developmentally be there. And so we're supporting them on a one-to-one basis. And so we're saying, oh, you know what, your blood sugar is dipping low, and we're educating their teachers, like, you hear that alarm, that's a life-threatening situation, and we need to address that immediately. And so we're constantly monitoring that, making sure our students are safe. And at the elementary level, you know, that's very hands-on, one-to-one care.
Absolutely. So on behalf of our listening audience and those that will tune in and spread this message, let's tell the real stories of what school nurses do. Yes. And you just did a phenomenal job of elaborating. You could have gone even further, because we know there's you're constantly having to pivot. You're learning. You navigated us through a full pandemic, for goodness sake.
Yes.
And, you know, and kept our students safe in that manner as well. So really put the narrative out there of how special and that these group of nurses are, that work across our nation in support of our students every single day, and let's make sure that they get the proper recognition and support that they deserve, because they've earned that right.
Thank you. Thank you.
Celebrate yourself.
Yes,
absolutely,
thanks.
Absolutely. So, Dr. Jackson,
yes.
As the director of Hupa Services, you have to spread your wings across a wide variety of staff, and so we're going to make sure that our audience understands all the different areas that comprise people services. So if you could break down each of those areas and kind of give like a little snapshot of what each does in our organization.
Absolutely. And so being the director of people services, I will always tell you, it's an honor to serve this group of amazing leaders. They are phenomenal. So I support the school counselors, and that's from K-12. And counselors do a lot with the academics, particularly more at the high school. In the elementary settings, it's more providing that support and guidance and emotional regulation and teaching those skills. I support the school psychologists as well, and they do some of our testing as we look at students who may qualify for special needs, in addition to working one-to-one with students on mental health issues, you know, that might need some supports, and so they're there. The restorative practices, we have an amazing team, and they are working to, we are a restorative practices district, and so it's making sure that we use strategies, educational strategies on building the skills and repairing harm rather than doing punitive measures. And so we have a wonderful team doing that. Our school social workers, they are our connection to the community. They support our students who may be experiencing homelessness or food insecurity. And then our nurses, we heard a lot from Ricky. What's really important to point out is it's an integrated team, and so they work in collaboration with each other to support the whole child. All of them bring their expertise together, but with it, and they have these separate expertise, but they come together for the support of the whole child and supporting our school community and families.
Thank you so much. And then, you know, and Ricky talked about this as well. So there's a service component, and there's also the educational component. We are an educational system. And so while each of our staff that are working across our pupil service department, while they're providing the service, they're also helping families learn how to provide those supports as well.
Yes.
And help our students learn not just coping mechanisms, but how do they think strategically about their next moves, so to improve it as well. So as an institution of education, it's beyond our classrooms.
Absolutely.
So can you give an example of like just teaching some of those key practices that a student will need, and it'll be a lifelong learning experience for them?
Absolutely. So in our elementary schools, we use a curriculum, Second Step, which teaches some life skills. Mm-hmm. And our counselors and social workers work in collaboration with the classroom teachers to teach those lessons. Those are life skills on how to get along, bullying, being safe, being able to say no, how to negotiate, you know, conflict, peer group, social group. So it teaches those life skills, and we call those some of our universals that help schools run. In the middle school, we reinforce that, but we also build on, because as you get into middle school, the dynamics change. You're growing, and so you have different kind of peer interactions, and so we teach you some life skills on how to navigate that. And then when you get to the high school, we do continue that, but also preparing you for the future and what comes next. If you're doing post-secondary, if you're going to the military, but it's building the skills to help you have these life, these social skills to be able to be a productive, successful person of the community. So it's a continuum from early on through that we're teaching those skills.
That's amazing. That's absolutely amazing. And I'm so proud to have you as our leader. Ricky, I'm gonna pivot us a little bit.
Sure.
And let's think about the next generation of nurses. And we know we have experienced nationwide a nursing shortage.
Mm-hmm.
We've really had to navigate that. And I think the best way to overcome a shortage is to develop our own and develop the skill set for our upcoming students, so they understand the value of it and they have the skills and training to do so. What advice would you give to a student that may be interested in the nursing field, and what would be that first step?
Sure, yeah. I actually love having this conversation with students when they come in my office and they ask me about my job. And another one of those misconceptions is, are you going to be a real nurse someday? Mm-hmm. And I like to share, you know, this is important work we're doing, and this is what nursing looks like. It's very dynamic.
Correct.
And I talk to them a lot about, you know, if you want a field that's constantly changing and has a lot of opportunity, nursing's a great place. You can start working in a hospital and, you know, work with direct patient care on a day-to-day basis. It pays really well. Mm-hmm. And I tell them, you know, it's 4 years, you're in, you're out, and you can get in there. But there's opportunity to, as you your needs change, your interests change, you know, moving into a community nurse setting, which is where I'm at, right? And so I'm working with policies, I'm working with education. And so I talk to them about, you know, that very dynamic role. We've been really pushing, I'll tell them, you know, get in that CNA course that we're offering in our school. That's a great opportunity to see what this is like and get in the real world and start that. So
yeah, I'm going to push that. I'm going to circle back to that because I want to make sure our audience know that we have a CNA course. Where at?
At Verona Area High School.
There we go.
Yes.
Right at Verona Area High School.
Right.
We offer our own CNA course, and we have a great setup. If you look, walk into the classroom, it looks just like a hospital space. And
it absolutely does. It looks better than the CNA class I took that was in some conference room off the side. So yes, prime space for it.
And thank you to our community for their investment in our building and our facility to allow us to have that experience for our students. But if you want to just start that process, it's right here in our backyard.
Yes,
so
absolutely.
Every student that goes through our organization has access to it, and we would love you to at least come in and take a look. All right, Dr. Jackson.
Yes.
And Ricky too, we want to make sure we get both answers on this. These sometimes can be high stress jobs, right? Yeah, just being honest about
yes.
it can be.
Mm-hmm.
But both of you carry such a bright spirit and passion for everything that you do. You're always uplifted, and so what brings you joy?
Oh, the opportunity to serve students, just to be part of a team, a strong, high-functioning team, and it's a joy. I'm here every day, and so
yes.
it's a blessing to be here, and I love this space. I love the people I work with, and I love the work we do.
Agreed. I really get joy watching these high schoolers grow into adults. I see them as freshmen. They come in, they're making this really tough transition, trying to find themselves. And by the time they're leaving us, they're, you know, they're responsible adults. They're ready to take on the world. And I just, you know, some of our students that I have worked with that, you know, have some medical problems that can be pretty challenging. And when they come to me, they're still in this developmental phase of learning to navigate that. And it just, it brings me such joy when I can help them, you know, make that transition to adulthood where I'm hardly having to even interact with them as they're approaching 17, 18, because they've really learned how to take this on themselves. So that really is just brings me warmth.
Excellent. Excellent. So thank you both. And I'm Dr. Jackson's being a little humble right now. Okay. And the reason I'm putting that doctor title in front of her, because she's well on a journey and she'll be crossing the stage in May.
Yes.
All right. Congratulations.
Thank you.
We're so excited for you. Can you talk to us a little bit about your dissertation?
Oh, gosh.
I'm going to put you right here on the spot. No prompt, no script. All right, absolutely. You're right in front of your committee right now.
All right, yes. So my topic is the lived experience of Black women leaders in K-12 international schools. It's very close to my heart, and so I am looking at just how gendered racism, colonialism impact Black women leaders throughout the world. And so interviewing, it's a very small pool of candidates, of people, and so interviewing them, getting their stories, and creating recommendations for moving forward to help the international community, both in hiring and retaining quality leaders.
And what life experience brought you to your desire for international education?
So I my first leadership job was here in Verona as an assistant principal at the high school, and I treasure it. I'm forever a Wildcat. But then I had an opportunity to travel international and serve as a principal in international schools in the UAE in Dubai. And I'm going to embark on that opportunity again.
No, you're not.
And so international leadership is my passion, and so I am seeking that opportunity to explore and do it again.
No. That wasn't the pivot that we were talking about. We were supposed to talk about past practices, not current. Not making me feel upset on my own podcast here. No, congratulations to you, though. We are so excited for you and your continued life journey. And I can't think of anybody who's earned it more than you have. You're just such a special person, not here, not just here in Central Office, but across our district. And you can just say the name Tracy Jackson, and people just start smiling on her behalf. You know, and that's what it's infectious. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
Your journey.
Yes.
How did you end up here in the Verona Area School District?
Yeah. So interestingly, I don't know that any of you actually know this about me. My background is political science and international studies.
Okay. Look at that.
Yeah. And so I've always had an interest in international policy, actually. And healthcare. And so this is how I got to that merger. It wasn't really where I thought I'd land.
I'm going to pause you. Don't you even think about it, Dr. Jackson.
I'm like, I hear you. I feel this vibe.
No. I want people to stay in the Villanueva school district. Okay, sorry.
Well, I was going to say, but I'm very grounded here I have children in the district. Uh-huh. So, it's, you know, I started in women's health and this has just become a natural progression. I always liked working with adolescents and you know, I surprisingly found this was my niche of community supporting adolescents, even supporting women's health through human growth and development education. So it's been a surprising journey, but here I am and I love it and I just feel like it's the right spot for me.
Absolutely. It is, as I say right there, this is the right spot for you, okay? I got to protect staff all the time, even when I'm doing a podcast. My goodness.
It is the best place to be. I love Verona Air School District. I just want to say one thing, Dr. C. Yeah. I loved it so much I came back, and I would always come back. I would always choose Verona. It is amazing. I'm thankful for the opportunities.
Thank you so much. So we're going to get ready to close out today, but I just wanted to get one final thought from each of you. You know, as you think about the totality of the Pupil Services Department, what is that one message that you want our audience to walk away with?
That we do the heart work. We collaborate with the academic piece, and it's the whole child. And so it's dynamic work, it's powerful work, and it's collaborative work.
Excellent. Ricky.
Yes. I would say that's the message I like to share over and over is we are a collaborative team. It's, you know, we think of hospitals and I'll go back to my medical background, right? And we think of that care team, right? And that's how I see my ISST team is we are here as a care team. We collaborate and we support students and we get them healthy, you know, in whatever that looks like for them. That's a very broad term. And we're supporting them to keep them healthy and in class and reaching their goals.
Excellent, excellent. Well, thank you both so much for your valuable time today. I know we all have to get back and continue to serve our students, but this has been a great conversation, and I thoroughly enjoyed learning more and getting to know both of you on a deeper level. And Ricky, you'll stay in here with the Rowan Area School District.
I'm here.
All right, all right. And I'm still working on Dr. Jackson.
Yeah, right. So.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Marcy, I'm going to take it back to you.
Absolutely. Thank you also on behalf of everyone who's listening today for joining us. And I think our listeners find value in our podcast. Folks out there like to understand the student experience. This is one way they learn about that. We've got students listening who I think it's great for them to hear sort of these career paths and where you end up and how you can combine your interests. So thank you for that. And thank you for all of your work that you do to support student success. I'm Marcy Pfeiffer-Soderblum. Thank you for listening to In the Loop with the Soup.